Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is Rob. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios.
We'll do it live.
And at the bottom of the hour, we will be joined by Yaron Weitzman.
Wow.
I don't know if I said his name correctly, but Yaron Weitzman, maybe it's Yaron. He's an author and the host. This is an interesting name. It's a cool name. He's the host of the Weitzman Can't Jump podcast.
Very nice.
You like that, Rob?
Yeah, I do.
Rob G, you got a problem with that?
Where's that? Come on.
No, that's a play on words.
No, wait a minute. Where's the racist? Come on.
You know Rob G don't like that.
Thank you.
I got it for you.
Thank you. Come on,
all right,
Rob G.
So,
I got a very low bar for racist drops, and then that still didn't clear it.
Wow.
Rob G, or Rob Parker, Rob P. I said it earlier. I don't think the Nets can win the championship without James Harden. I think they need his facilitating and all of that. I think they even have trouble winning the East without Harden. But he should be back. I mean, but I don't know. You know, are they just taking their time, being overly cautious with the hamstring? We know he came back earlier and tweaked it again and had to sit out. So I don't know. But I assume, Rob, he'll be back. You know, Kevin Durant's now played several games in a row and seems like he's fine, although they've lost those three straight games. But does it concern you, Rob, that they're 7-8 with Kyrie and KD? Which
nope.
is baffling that they're 7-8 with those two guys.
No, nah, they haven't played. There was no No, I'm not like overly concerned because I just think it's different when you get to the playoffs compared to you don't play every day, you don't have back-to-backs, you play a different style of game. I just think sometimes the playoffs are different from the regular season. So I just like their firepower. I think they're going to have plenty to play. I like the way that the other guys fit in with the different superstars even when they were out. I like the squad, the way it's put together. Obviously, without them, it's a tougher road. I wouldn't just write them off totally because there's a lot of teams missing other people and players, and we don't know their situation. So I can't totally write off Kyrie and KD just because of Harden. I don't know who they're facing. I don't know what their situation is. I don't, you know what I mean?
If Embiid is out and Giannis gets hurt,
I'm just saying they got the road is easier if you have Harden. That's all I say. I think the road is easier.
I'll say I think the point you're making though is interesting. I'm gonna put a little twist on it. And going out west, looking at the Lakers, the thing about them and LeBron, I was talking to somebody today close to LeBron. And they said, look, his ankle's gonna bother him a little bit to the rest of the season, like playoffs, all that. Like, it's really not going to be fine and heal up and be 100% until he can rest it in the offseason. And the thing is this, Rob, if LeBron James can come back and play every playoff game, say he's 85 to 90%, and AD, Anthony Davis, now this might be a big if, Anthony Davis gets back to what he was last year. The thing, when I look at the West, Rob, and yes, they got very good teams out there. But, dude, does Denver terrify you? No.
But it's not about being terrified, Chris. I get what you're saying.
I'm just saying,
I haven't seen enough of the Lakers. I hear the point about, sure, LeBron and them won last year, those two together, you should automatically assume that they're going to win.
No, I'm not who's a world beater in the West?
Nobody's a world beater, but I just haven't seen that from the Lakers. I've seen LeBron come back from injury and not play well 2 years ago. I mean, I just don't think it's an automatic, and that
I don't think it's an automatic
that he's
either.
Going to miraculously be okay and go through everybody, after playing a play-in game or whatever it is, you know, like wherever they wind up. I mean, he's not playing the next two games, so they could drop. And wherever they are, and then being the, you know, on the road the whole time, Eddie House talked about it. I just think there's a lot of obstacles. And then some of the other players who just weren't there last year and didn't win a championship last year. So I think there's an uphill battle. And I think if a team has any kind of like, here's a wounded LeBron, if there's ever a chance, Chris, to knock him off and to beat him, you know what I mean? Like, here he is. He's vulnerable.
No, he's got to be close to full health. Close. Not at full health, but close. But my point is just that I'm going to tell you straight up. If LeBron is playing, like, he can play all seven games, I'm picking them over Denver if they meet in the first round. Because Denver's second best player is Michael Porter Jr., who's 22 years old.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Okay, if LeBron and them were to lose and say he's fine, he's played all seven
to
games.
Denver and that's in the
Denver,
first round. Okay.
What would that signify to you?
I don't know. It'd be a loss.
No, but
you know,
I'd have to see
how it happens.
No, but I'm saying LeBron's healthy, but they lose. They just lose. Would you probably think about it defensive? I mean, that it was, you know, the prolonged time off and not, you know, being able to play. Would it be the beginning of the end? Do you know what I mean? Him and Anthony Davis. Do you see what I'm saying? Like,
I'd want to know all the circumstances. Like, maybe if AD doesn't play well, and if LeBron balls and AD is just horrible, then, you know, but to get to your question, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm just asking.
If AD and LeBron play well and they just lose, yeah, I mean, look, I think we're already seeing the beginning, like, age is affecting LeBron. That would be another sign, a strong sign that it's a new day.
That's what I'm asking. Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm asking.
I think that's obvious. Like, and I think at 36 years old, I think 6-7 years ago, he would have been back from this injury. And
well,
it wouldn't have lingered as long. You know what I'm saying?
Agree.
So, yeah.
And as you get older, the body is just different.
Remember, LeBron has played, he's 19th on the all-time games played list, regular season. And he's first, Rob, on the all-time playoff games played list. And he's played on three Olympic teams. So he's got a ton of wear and tear on his body. So, I think Father Time is on his tail. I don't think he's caught up with him, but he's right there on his tail for sure. All right, let's switch but stay in the NBA, Rob. Look, we got to give him props. LaMelo Ball, Rob, is the truth. He is the flat-out truth. He is a bad boy. And he looks like Michael Jordan got him a star, it looks like. And last night, LaMelo put up 23 points, 6 assists, 7 rebounds in a win over the Pistons. And the drumbeat from a lot of people, a lot of fans,
it's more
is
fans
that Melo,
than anybody, right?
Right. LaMelo should be the rookie of the year. Before I answer the question, I'm going to let you answer it first, Rob, but I will say this. He is the best rookie.
But that's not
he
what
is
the award
best
is.
Rookie.
That's not what the award is. I think that's where people get lost. And you can see his talent. I don't think there's any doubt about it. But to miss 30% of the season is a big chunk of the season. And had he played, Chris probably would have won. But it would be different if there's no other rookie who's playing well. And I think that's the other issue with Edwards, right? From
Anthony Edwards, yeah.
Anthony Edwards from Minnesota, who has a higher scoring average. And traditionally, the guy with the highest scoring average, rookie-wise, usually wins. I mean, they don't look at most other things, Chris. It usually is. And Melo can't catch him. He has such an advantage that Melo can't – there's not enough time to catch him. So it would be strange that that would be overturned. I don't know. People were beating the drum for LeBron last year, fans, right? And all the talk. He didn't win. So I don't know. You're a voter. I will, you know, step back and let you talk about it because you do have a vote. I mentioned you in the column that I wrote for Deadspin about this because I've said you said it on the air a number of times, and you're one of these guys who count playing availability as a right. part of winning an award for that season. It just is. I don't remember. Yeah. Was Kyrie might have been Chris, and here's a perfect example. Kyrie was played 11 games at Duke and was the first overall pick off of his talent. He didn't win Basketball Player of the Year.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Even though you knew he was the best.
Even though he's the best player and he's going to be the number one pick. Do you see what? So that's the part that doesn't. When people are talking, well, but he is the best rookie. No, Kyrie was the best player in college basketball that year, Chris. That's why he went first. But he wasn't the college basketball player of the year. He didn't play.
I'm with you, Rob, and you're right. We just got our ballots today, and I'm actually surprised. I don't know if I've heard any voters or any writers, reporters, you know, NBA guys come out and say that LaMelo should be it. Yeah, it's like you said, it's a lot of fans. But no,
fans
he's
and
missed
blogs
20 games.
And all that.
Right. And I Anthony, first of all, you said it. Anthony Edwards is averaging more points.
He is.
LaMelo's been great, but LaMelo didn't start for the first half of the season. He's averaging 16 points or slightly below 16 points a game. Edwards is averaging 18 and a half points. And Edwards has holes in his game. Right now, I like LaMelo's game better. But to your point, it's about being available. And Edwards, I think, has played every game. He's played 65 games. And he's played well, too. So I am with you. I think Edwards should be Rookie of the Year. He will get my vote. LaMelo's been tremendous. I'm excited about him. He's got flair, Rob.
Nobody's knocking
he's obviously
him, Chris,
got skill.
He's
right.
not a great player early on and from what we've seen.
Right.
But it's not a popularity contest. It's not who's going to have a better career long term. That's not what the award is,
right.
Chris.
Right.
That's what people are looking at, saying he's going to be the star long down the road, and so we should give him the MVP. It doesn't normally work like that. That's all.
And I'm going to say this too, right, because you brought up the availability. And I know with LaMelo, he was legitimately hurt. And Rob, there are some guys, whether they're teams, some guys' teams would have held him out, or the player himself, you know what I mean, would have been like, oh, you know, let me just sit out the rest of the year, whatever. I figured LaMelo might be back once he's able because you know Michael Jordan understands that mentality, right? Remember Jordan fought his second year to come back and play.
Right.
The Bulls didn't want him to play because they didn't want to make the playoffs. They wanted a better draft pick, and he fought them to get back on the court and play.
I understand
and they
why
did end
players
up making
should
the playoffs.
Want to play, Chris. Right.
Right? I agree. I don't want a guy that's 21 freaking
Who
years
doesn't
old.
Want to play.
Yeah. Like, what? Like,
That's why I love Zion, Chris, at college, when he decided to come back when he was healthy.
Right.
Like, to me, that would be like, what? You don't want to play? And you're
I
healthy.
I think college is a little different because you
saying,
do
he
have
healthy.
The draft coming. But I'm not going to argue you on that point. But, Rob, when I vote, I mean, it's going to be an interesting year voting. Things like all NBA team and stuff. I am going to take availability into more consideration than I ever have.
I think it
right?
has to.
Because it's become such – and I get it, if a guy's hurt, he's hurt. I'm not going to – I mean,
yeah,
you'll be
just,
penalized because you weren't there for half the season. I can't put you on first-team All-NBA. But I'm just saying, a guy that is sitting out random games. Kyrie, I don't know. I'm going to have to look at my, you know, where I put Kyrie on the All-NBA teams and stuff. Because we have got to get back to valuing the regular season. We just have to. And you say it all the time, Rob, it's for the fans. And at the end of the day, the fans pay the freight. And so we can't have guys just sitting out, you know, a game a week and just wanting to play all the time in the playoffs. So, but yeah, I'm with you. We agree on that. Anthony Edwards should be Rookie of the Year over LaMelo. But let's see what the listeners think. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Should LaMelo Ball missing a large chunk of the season eliminate him from being Rookie of the Year? It is your turn to weigh in with Chris and Rob, The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it's The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. We got Yaron Weitzman, author of the and host of the podcast Weitzman Can't Jump. He'll be joining us in about 8 minutes. But first, we're going to take your calls, 877-99 on Fox. Is your Rookie of the Year LaMelo Ball? He's missed about 20 games. Would you still vote him in? Rob and I say that's just too much of the season to miss to be Rookie of the Year.
I think he missed, what, 21 exactly, Chris? Is that it?
Is it 21? 21? Now, look, Patrick Ewing was Rookie of the Year on 50 games. He played 50 out of 82. That's like the record. But I don't know. I'd have to look back. Was there another, you know, legitimate candidate?
Right. That, it would be one thing if there was nobody there, right?
Right.
That would be different. All right, Nick in Syracuse. You're on The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Nick?
Poo-poo King's at it again, boy. I tell you. Chris Broussard, I want you to run the tape back from Christmas Eve when he took one of your 10 vacations throughout the year when he was with Ikram Salam. And he said he clouded LaMelo that day because he had 0 points in his first NBA game. And I told him, run the tape back, Rob. Run it back. I
said that boy's going to be the NBA rookie of the year.
I said, I talked about him going scoreless in his debut. That's all I told
you clowned him, Rob?
No, I didn't say that he couldn't play. I just said that was amazing that a guy would go scoreless in his first game or whatever it
was.
And I forgot how many shots
he
had.
Luckily we got on tape, Rob. You run it back.
We got it on tape.
It was the biggest bust in NBA. Did you not say that, Rob?
I didn't say that. Come on.
It sounds like you need to call back on Trash Talking Tuesday.
Yes.
And Trash
Talking. I got you, fellas. All I'm going to say
is, you know, you sound like, you know, you were going to Washington Nationals games. Syracuse Nationals game. What was the name of that team up there?
I think it was the Nationals when they had the NBA team.
When they had the Syracuse had an NBA team at one time.
I think it was the Syracuse Nationals.
Nationals, yep. I think it was. All right, Marty in Kentucky, you're on The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
What's up, fellas? How you doing? It's Worship Wednesday.
What up, Marty?
What up, Marty?
I got a quick question for you. At your workplace, do you have to be vaccinated? I know you work at, like, around a lot of people or whatnot, right?
We can be vaccinated. I'm more of a fan of the messenger RNA vaccines. Chris said that he took the Johnson & Johnson. I was actually curious if your wife, being a doctor, she suggested you take the Johnson & Johnson over the messenger RNA types, the Pfizer and the Moderna.
No, she took, I'm not sure which one of those she took, but it was one of those. I'm the only one in the family that took the Johnson. I had the choice, but I just took it because it was one shot, you know? And this was before they had the issues, but I didn't feel any issues.
That the name Johnson & Johnson, a brother, was probably
it was for black people
somehow.
Right. That's a good one, Rob. I'm a believer in the Moderna, the messenger RNA, and the Pfizer.
Okay. I was just curious.
Great new technology. But, well, I'm curious, Rob. Brian Finley broke some news earlier that I had heard before. He said that it was a rumor that you saved your Little League cup, and I heard that too, and I also heard that it still fits.
Oh, wow.
Oh!
Well, that must have been the time I wasn't listening to Brian Fett.
That was a good one. You had walked away, but he did say that, Rob. Yeah. Wow. And it does fit. Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
All right, real quick, I'll hit LaMelo. I'm not going to get Employee of the Month if I miss 11, 12 days. I think LaMelo probably is the best player out of all the rookies, but you got to give it to Edwards because LaMelo's performance is not enough better to overcome all those missed games.
Absolutely.
It's pretty much that simple.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great – and it's right. Like, our athletes, should they – they don't have to show up for work.
Right.
And again, he was hurt, so it's not.
No, but
he wasn't load
right.
managing. But still, you got to play the games if you're going to get rewarded.
Exactly. Andre in Massachusetts, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up?
What's going on, guys? Good
What's
evening.
Up, man?
You like what we've seen from LaMelo? He had some Pete Maravich-like passes.
Yeah, man.
In his return. But the rookie of the year is clearly Anthony Edwards. The Timberwolves have won four of the last five games. They're being competitive to conclude the season. He's averaging, 18 a game, a couple rebounds, a couple assists. You know, he has the personality, the swagger to build himself up. So if LaMelo hadn't been out, I think he'd be the clear-cut favorite.
Agree.
You know, but it's not as though, you know, this class is devoid of talent. We also have James Wiseman, you know, who's been out, you know, who will make noise going forward. What we've seen, you know, I think he's definitely silenced many of the doubters, myself among them, in terms of his viability and credibility going forward. You know, he has star potential. But this year it's about the Ant-Man, you know, and, you know, him getting the Rookie of the Year and getting that respect that he deserves for it. Thanks,
and I'll tell you what, and this isn't why you win Rookie of the Year, but Anthony Edwards has had some tremendous dunks. You know, he is a guy. I think he'll probably become a star, Rob. I don't know if he'll be a guy that can lead a team to a bunch of wins. You know what I mean? Maybe. But I definitely think he can be a star in the league in the future.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, he's played well.
Yep.
He should be Rookie of the Year. We'll see, Chris. But, you know, a lot of stuff with popularity. But I think there's a difference between the writers who cover the game, and we saw that with the LeBron, because there was a buzz out there for LeBron, right?
Right.
And
right.
it was a landslide, Chris, the other way. So yep. That tells you that the buzz you're hearing from people isn't necessarily what we're hearing from the people who actually cover, who have votes. You have a vote. You've already spoken. He's missed too many games for you.
Right.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, we are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Our next guest, he is the author and host of the Weitzman Can't Jump podcast, Yaron Weitzman. Welcome to the iCouple.
What's happening?
Thanks, guys. I don't know how I follow the jockstrap thing, but I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, no,
hey, man,
you know,
we love
your,
the title of your podcast. That's really good, man. I like
Thanks.
That.
I will take all credit. Yes, that's good. Thank you.
Yes. Now, you wrote a great article for The Ringer a few weeks ago, and it was called The NBA's GM Kingmaker. And it's interesting because it talks about a guy, Mike Forty, and he is from – he's British, correct?
I believe English or British. I get confused with those. But, yes, he was overseas, right? And he was
right.
a Chelsea Premier Soccer guy.
Yeah, so he's an executive in professional soccer overseas, and yet now he started a business where he is essentially a go-to guy for these owners and teams when they're looking to fill front office and coaching positions. Is that correct? And go ahead and just kind of, you know, bring us, just explain to us what he does in the NBA and kind of how he became, you know, the guy from soccer in another country becomes this kingmaker, as you called him.
Yeah, so he's a headhunter, right? It's sort of this thing. And, you know, so I spoke to a lot of, and thanks for having me on all the nice words about the article. So I spoke to a lot of people about sort of this role. I've been hearing about him, and his name sort of pops up in different searches. The four so far, there was the Brooklyn Nets and Sean Marks, and then a few years passed, and then there was the David Griffin search in New Orleans, Tommy Shepard in Washington, and and Monty McNair in Sacramento, right? And you're going to see it's going to probably happen more and more. And what I put in the article is that, you know, that only sound, that might sound like a few, three or four, but when you think about there's only 30 teams and how many people want these jobs, and he's someone who's in touch with all these owners. And basically what happened is he had made a consulting firm, and he was doing consulting, and consulting is this weird thing where I'm kind of a cynic, and I think it's sort of a racket because it's a lot of common sense, people telling you how to build, you know, how to make a cohesive office environment and all these buzzwords that the three of us would probably laugh at because we don't have real jobs like that, right? And that seemed kind of crazy.
Right.
but there is, I guess, something to it in an office environment, and so many of these professional sports owners, the sports business seems to confound so many of the owners, and we've seen this in so many different examples where they're really good in every other thing they do, and then they come into sports, and just whether it's the competition, the microscope on it, a mix of all of it, they just really, really struggle. The Kings are a great example, right? Vivek Ranadive. Malcolm Gladwell featured him in one of his books talking about how smart and innovative he was, and I think the Kings would be an example of a team that people would not exactly describe as cutting edge. So anyway, right. so this guy breaks in, and teams, sort of owners, become friendly with him, and they like him, and they speak a similar language, which is something that you hear, you know, that phrase pops up. And eventually he gets friendly with R.C. Buford, who has a connection with, who likes overseas soccer, and R.C. Buford introduces him to NBA people, and sort of before you know it, he's the guy that even the league office, like I had Vivek Ranadive told me that, you know, when they were looking to replace Vlade Divac as their general manager, they reached out to the league office to kind of figure out who was the best. And Adam Silver, or he's Adam Silver, I believe the quote was, the highest levels of the league office, sent back Mike Ford as the guy to talk to. So he's sort of in, right? And what it means is interesting. But he's this guy, again, kingmaker and owners. He has the ears of the owners. And because of that, now all these executives want to be part, like want him to know who they are too.
But here's my issue with that. And I get it. I'm not knocking him and his ability, but how wide is his net? How diverse is his net? Who does he know, and who is he recommending? Do you know what I mean? I would love to know how diverse that net is, and I'd have an issue with it if the only people he's recommending look like him.
Well, you addressed that in an article too.
I do, right, correct. So, right, the diverse, we can use the lowercase d and the capital D even. Right, there are two parts of it. So, one, yeah, there is an issue, it does seem like, in terms of he's a lot of Rockets ties, right, clearly. And there's other reasons for this, but a lot of Monty McNair or Gerson Rosas, who's a former Rockets executive, who's now at the Timberwolves, which was not a search that Ford did. Ford did, but he was part of pretty much every other search. A lot of Rockets candidates pop up often. There are two concerns here, right? One is that, how wide a net is he casting just in terms of everyone, for all types of people? And the other one is what, and a few people brought this up to me as I was reporting the article, is in terms of with him and with other search firms, are they interested? Do they care about some of these efforts to promote diversity in front offices, which, and I'll say capital D diversity, right? In terms of the way where this has become a problem recently. And we've seen a lot of talk about this, where the influx of analytics and sort of the NBA playing experience has become this thing that we don't value as much as you have in NBA. Can you run models? And a lot of these things are overcorrecting, and that's sort of the problem. And he, you know, when I asked him about that, it was one of the only times in the conversation he was thrown off. I don't know how much that was something that was on his radar before in terms of trying to
probably not. I bet you shocked him a little bit, like to even throw that out there, a question, because some people just they don't even, and I say when I say they don't realize it, people are recommending people they know or people they around, and they don't even think twice about it. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's not malicious. Correct. He was not being maliciously, you know, he was not being racist and saying, well, I'll be specific, right? He was not thinking black people can't run NBA front offices, right? That was not what was happening. Exactly.
But I know this guy, and I'm friendly with him, or you know what I mean? And it's that.
Exactly. Right.
And I got to be honest, Jerome, like, I don't really like it. Because first of all, he's from England. Like, how is he the best guy to find? He's from England, and he was in soccer. How is he the best guy to choose who's going to be a GM of an NBA team? You know what I'm saying?
So,
go ahead.
No, okay, so it's interesting, right? So I'm sorry for cutting you off. It's an interesting question. I don't disagree, right? So I'll put my opinion. I don't disagree. The way I kind of look at it after talking to a bunch of people and even seeing what the reactions were to the article and all things like that, and I know you know this, but just for people who haven't read it, the story is not me saying it's good or bad. Just this
right. No, it's not
a
review
thing that is happening.
You
right?
just reported it, yeah.
Correct. So my thing is, I agree. Again, I'm a kind of a cynic. I find the consulting thing to be a bit of a racket. That said, right. owners are so bad at this that if somebody, and he does take this seriously. Like, he takes the idea of filling out a holistic front office and, yeah, what makes good managers. And he doesn't get involved in X's and O's and stuff like that, right? And trying to build his base and trying to do that stuff. And he takes his role as this guy who's going to be as a headhunter in the NBA and in other fields too, he takes that seriously. So as somebody, another executive said to me, one, other search firms who teams have been hiring search firms for a while. A lot of times it seemed like to them, like one guy told me a story, one executive that he had a GMA, he was interviewed for a job once and it consisted of a 30-minute cold call with somebody he didn't know and that was it. Basically the idea is, it's almost like the less you work, the more you get paid, the higher your hourly rate is.
Oh, right.
If you can bank it out quickly. So he's doing more work than that. And again, a lot of these owners are so bad at this, and we've proven this, and they're going either it's asking media people or whatever it is, or agents or whoever, that even if this is a bit of a like common sense and like what does he know different, if he's taking it seriously, it might be a step up from where we see a lot of these teams.
Let me ask you this, because you mentioned a few of the teams, Sacramento, Monty McNair, and he's early in, but he's what, 35 years old, I believe, real young guy.
Yes.
New Orleans with David Griffin. And then there was a Washington with Tommy Shepard. None of those teams are doing well at all. Washington's going to sneak into the play-in thanks to Russell Westbrook's run.
Right.
But
so
how much of that,
right.
How much of that is, you know, are people going to look at that and be like, hold on, like you're recommending all these guys and it's not working out. Like, maybe it's too early for that, but where do you see that going? I mean, that's got to be a factor too.
It's a fascinating question. So again, what he would say, and I'm not what he would say is he doesn't make, and I believe this is true, right? He doesn't make the hire. He kind of brings the final list to the owners, final 5-10 candidates, whatever it is, and then I'm sure he has input into when the interview process and all that, right? He's not making the hire. That being said, you know, I'm fascinated by it. I even asked him, like, do you follow the standings at all? And when I talked to him, I mean, all those teams, Sacramento's had a weird season, so it's hard to
know every
start.
Time
you look up. So I've asked, like, do you check the standings every day? And he was like, yeah, you can't help it from doing so. You know, some of these things, I think the answer would be, I bring the guy here. It's not necessarily, you know, what happens from there? Like, if you... It's an interesting point, right? It's an interesting window into hiring is done. So, for example, teams, owners will say, I want a guy. What the most important thing to me is not leadership, but the guy who looks to be analytically inclined. I'm just making that up, right? That's what they'll say.
Right.
And then they hire somebody who's analytically inclined, and he'll get in there. And then they'll say, well, he's not really leading the front office. And then the response will be, well, we picked the guy that you wanted who is, you know, leadership wasn't the main quality you wanted. So you're staffing the front office around him. So when I say he's thinking about things in a more holistic way that I believe is positive, I do believe that. But yeah, no, at that certain point, I do believe the results could speak for themselves, and it'll be interesting to see whether someone steps into that vacuum and this becomes a competitive business between multiple guys like him, whether it doesn't matter because owners are just comfortable with him, and if your phone's ringing off the hook every day and you have the ear, that's all that matters. It'll be interesting to follow.
Great stuff, Yaron.
Yes.
Yaron Weitzman, yes, we wanted to have you on. Good job, man. Good article. And, you know, keep up the great work. Check him out on his podcast, Weitzman Can't Jump. Good stuff, man. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Yep. More of the Odd Couple coming your way. Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It is The Odd Couple wrapping up a Worship Wednesday. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. This changes the mood. It really does. All right, Rob, I got one question for you. We know that LeBron James is out. We know that he's injured. He's 36 years old in his 18th year. Do you think that Father Time has caught up with LeBron James finally?
Yes. It doesn't mean that he's going to fall to the wayside and can't play at all. But, yeah, it's the injuries. I mean, if they didn't win last year, Chris, I think people would look at LeBron's tenure a little bit differently just because he was hurt in two of the 3 years.
Nah, that's a good point.
You know what I'm saying?
That's an interesting point. I mean, that championship, like, if he doesn't win another championship, you know, he got four, but he won one in L.A. And we both said, you go to the Lakers.
No, you got to win.
You got to win.
And he got it done. But yeah, but I'm just right. saying from the standpoint
so
of
point.
The two injuries, you know what I mean? Like, it's just –
Well, no, I hear you. Look. This is a guy that was a flat-out Iron Man, one of the best Iron Men we've seen in the NBA in history. And yet, two of the last 3 years, he's had serious injuries. And the 1 year that he didn't, they got a four-month hiatus.
Right.
Right? And so, yeah, I would not say that Father Time's caught him or caught up to him, but he's on his tail. And I do think that these injuries, Rob, I think years ago he would have been bounced back from them a lot quicker. And that just, you know, he's human. And it happens to everybody. As you get older, it's just harder to recover. It takes longer and for you to come back from certain injuries. So in that respect, I do think that Father Time is on his tail. It's a factor. His age is a factor. But yet, when he is able to play, he plays at a very high level still. And my thing, the reason I say, Rob, he hasn't fully caught up to him is because I don't know. I can't think of a guy that Father Time has caught in any of the leagues who could still be an MVP and win the championship, lead his team to the championship. Like Tom Brady's old. I don't think Father Time's caught him. Clearly. I mean, he was great last year. Aaron Rodgers is older. I don't think Father Time's caught him. You know, they're getting older. Obviously, it's going to happen at some point. But LeBron was right there in the MVP conversation before he got hurt.
Yeah,
the question is going to be, can he stay healthy?
Yeah, I guess it's about staying healthy and being there and being able to play. You know, I think that's more about it. Like I said, he's not falling off the cliff like he can't play or can't score. He's going to miss a layup or something. You know what I mean? We're not talking about that.
It's come down to can he stay healthy. Right.
Right.
Right. And with a lot of guys, you know, I mean, heck, Rob, Kobe Bryant scored 60 points in his last game. But he couldn't – he wasn't going to be able to sustain health.
And it was on 50 shots, though. Can we
right.
just, people forget that, right?
Yeah. We like to leave that out of the story.
I don't know
it
why people leave
better.
That out. It sounds romantic.
It sounds
romantic.
Better when he –
right, yeah. He had 60 his last game. He did take 50 shots. Hello? Is this on? Hello?
50 shots. But it was appropriate. That was so
fine.
Appropriate,
yeah,
right,
I
for
mean,
the way
but,
Kobe
But let's
went
not
out.
Make it like – he was efficient, Chris, and he took right. 25 shots and scored 60 points. Then you would be like, my
if you
God,
could see
why
the
are you
look,
retired?
Rob G is glaring at you right now.
I know.
He's
Don't
like,
talk
how
about
dare
Kobe.
He's like, he took 15 shots, Rob. He hit all of them. He hit three-pointers and some free throws.
Right.
All right. It is the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, signing off, wrapping up a Worship Wednesday. Go to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, download, subscribe, give us 5 stars, and leave a nice comment. And keep it locked right here. The party is not over, folks. Keep it right here on Fox Sports Radio for the Jason Smith and Mike Harmon Show. It's going to be live.